You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. My name is Jeff Humfeld. Today, host Keith Brown Ill talked with Robert Lee Hill, pastor of Community Christian Church, and Pastor Rodney Williams of Swope Park United Christian about the 2x2 mentoring program that is being developed by the congregations of the Metropolitan Organization for Racial and Economic Equality. That's Moore Squared. Then, later, the ACLU Minute and the calendar of events. Now, let's go to Keith Brown L., Pastor Williams, and Pastor Hill.
Good morning and welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. My name is Keith Brown Hill, and today I will be interviewing Dr. Robert Hill from the Community Christian Church and Pastor Rodney Williams from the Swope Park, Parkway United Church. They are here today to talk to us about the crisis in education regarding our youth and to offer us what we hope will be some solutions to these problems. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Keith.
I always begin my shows by asking the guests to give our audience a little background about themselves. And I'll start with Dr. Hill. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. We're both doctors and we're both pastors, so titles are interchangeable.
I apologize.
No apology. We get called a lot of things. I'm pastor of Community Christian Church, and with Rodney Williams, I'm proud to be the co-chair of the 2x2 initiative, which is a newest education endeavor by Metropolitan Organization for Racial and Economic Equity, Moore Squared, or M-O-R-E-E-2. We have this really discombobulating, cumbersome name, but we're known around the community with mostly wonderfully positive feelings. Anyway, this has come up as a new initiative, and we'll talk about that this day, but that's who I am. And
yes, and I'm Pastor Rodney Williams, pastor of the historical Swope Parkway United Christian Church here in Kansas City, Missouri. I've been in the area for 2 years. I am on the executive committee of Moore Square and also serving as co-chair of the 2x2 with Reverend Dr. Bob Hill.
Okay, now I'll just throw this out to either one of you, whichever one to answer the question. Tell us a little bit about the Metropolitan Organization for Racial and Economic Equality.
Moore Squared is a group that's been around for going on 7 years now. We're about 6.5 years old, and we are a community organizing effort formed on the principles of community organizing, trying to discover the kind of mutual self-interest that not only congregations, not only those that we would seek to help, but the whole community would abide by. What do we have in common that we can work on to make life a lot better? We are 21 congregations on both the Kansas and Missouri state sides and here in this bifurcated region. And we have several initiatives: economic, access to opportunity through transportation, health care, and the like. And we also have an education initiative or an education task force under which the 2x2 initiative fits. But, for example, if you drove across the Paseo Bridge, that's the old name. Its new name is Kit Bond Bridge. If you drove across that today to get to the airport or back, you were driving on something that Moore Squared had some influence on. Moore Squared participated in the writing of the RFP for that contract for the construction of that bridge, and we're able to affect a 30% minority subcontract and also workforce provision in that contract, as well as getting training money to the point of $1.25 million for the Full Employment Council to train women and also minorities to have careers in construction. That's just one of the things that we do as Moore Square. Our request for proposal. That kind of terminology and thinking that we could be at the table to influence a whole industry was foreign to many people in congregations several years ago. But what we understand is that there's immense power by virtue of us being concerned about the moral fabric of our communities and wanting to better it. And when we coalition together, when we coalesce our efforts together, when we come together, we can be a mighty force for good.
Dr. Williams, is there something you'd like to add to that?
Yes. Since I've been in Kansas City only for 2 years and I've been involved with Morris Square for the 2 years that I've been here, I've seen that Morris Square has been able to energize the community as far as helping people to understand that we do have some self-worth. Morris Square, in my opinion, is the epitome of the book of Micah 6 and 8. When the question is asked, what should we do? And we should do justice. And that's what Morris Square is about. It's an organization that does justice throughout the community.
Okay, where is Morris Square located?
Well, wherever there's a need for justice is where we're located, I think. But we have no geographical location per se. We meet in usually the locations of our congregations for our meetings, for task force meetings, subcommittee meetings, board meetings, and the like. But we're situated, as I said, on or have a focus on both Kansas and Missouri side of the greater Kansas City metro area.
Now, with this being such a large initiative, I would imagine that you probably want other or be interested in other groups and organizations that would want to join. What are the qualifications?
What a great question. Rodney, there's a simple answer to this, I think.
I think one of the qualifications is that you have to have a compassion for social justice. You have to have a compassion for children. And you have to be committed. It cannot be something that's a fly-by-night thing for you or where you can put your hands to this for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. This is a long-term endeavor. And so we're looking for people who are committed, that are compassionate, and that want to see justice take place in our communities.
And have a care, have a concern and a care for the education situation. More Squared, we're always looking and open to congregations becoming aligned with our organization. We just included one new one at our public meeting in October, the St. Andrew United Methodist Church. They're our newest member constituent in More Squared. But the 2x2 initiative, which we'll talk about in kind of further detail here in a little bit, it really is open to every congregation. There are 2,000 congregations in the greater metro area, and we are hoping to gather the interest and involvement of at least 50% of those in time. This first year, we're looking for 20 congregations,
right,
and we have 13 of our own congregations. Eventually, all of them, we believe, will be there. But we want to go beyond the 20. We want to go, we've got some interest from some non-Moore Squared congregations that we want them to be part of. So we're going to do that hopefully by the end of December, gather all that, all the names of those congregations, and then do training later in January and February.
Okay, now, what are the technicalities of the hands-on experience? What exactly, how does this operate?
You were asking further, and I laughed a little bit, Keith, because you said, what are the qualifications, you know, for a congregation or for a volunteer? Mm-hmm. Let me just kind of very briefly describe the 2x2 initiative in kind of in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. The 2x2 initiative means that we don't do anything in isolation. Everybody has to, we have to be partners in this. Mm-hmm. And what has been missing, it seems obvious to us now, and this is confessional. What seems missing is congregational involvement in the education systems, both in Kansas City, Missouri, Shawnee Mission, Blue Valley, Raytown, all the school districts. There are not enough congregations involved. To the extent, not to proselytize, not to convert to our dogma or doctrine,
right,
not at all. But for us to be there and say, your students in this school, that school, another, they are our students. We are with you. And wherever there's a need for mentoring, tutoring, sponsoring, supporting, standing in the gap when maybe a family member can't, or when a teacher wants a special tutoring moment for a kid that has some special set of problems, we are going to be at the ready, and we are going to put ourselves there. Well, we hope not only to have 100 students this first year and 20 congregations, we have the bold vision doing justice, as Reverend Williams was talking about out of Micah 6:8, to the extent that we would have 1,000 congregations and affect 10,000 students and do it every year for several years in a row. And if we do it even 2 years in a row, we'll do it forever. And to say, these are our students, and we want to help them attain, accomplish, and achieve the greatest educational level they possibly can.
Dr. Williams, we were talking earlier, and we had a conversation about the children who have crises that are outside the educational spectrum that affect their ability to learn. How are we going to get to the disinterested parents? When you were speaking about working with some of the children's parents, how are we going to get to these people and make them understand the importance of what Moore Square is trying to do?
Well, first of all, I think there are going to be some parents that are going to be resistant because they have received so many promises before. We have a program that's going to do this for your child and that for your child, and nothing seems to pan out for them. So therefore, there's a lot of apprehension on their part when they are approached by us. So what we plan on doing is to take our time, build trust. I think that's the first thing that has to happen. You have to build trust with people. People have to understand that you're going to be there when you say you're going to be there and that you're going to do what you're going to do. So we just plan on taking our time, building trust with people, building a good reputation and extending the reputation that we presently have within the community through Moore Square as a trusted organization. And we believe with that and a lot of prayer and hard work that we're going to be able to convert not all, but some of those parents will become interested parents.
Okay, now if say I was a person, I was just driving down the street, I'm half listening to this program, or I'm just somebody that, well, okay, I think that's a good thing, but I don't think I need to be involved in it. What can you say to me to make me understand the importance of this initiative?
Well, one of the things that I would say is that it takes a village to raise a child, and that you are part of the village. And we need your input and your expertise or your life experiences. And we won't discount anyone because we believe everyone has something to bring to the table. So we would try to help you to see that the gifts and the talents that you have are not for your own use, but they are for the use for the betterment of the community.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Williams, did you have something you'd like to add to that?
I sure would, Keith. I'll tell you, have you ever been to a place and you got a sandwich at a fast food restaurant, or you went to 7-Eleven to get some gas, and somebody doesn't give you the right change back when you paid for it?
Yes.
That's an irritating moment, right?
Right.
We'd like everybody to have the capacity to add and subtract, divide, multiply, and to be good stewards of their own talents. We're all in this together, and the fate of our children and our youth is what's going to make our future together. So there's a, you could say, even a, not a selfish self-interest, but a mutual self-interest in us helping our students become better in their educational achievements.
Now, you gave me a handout a little while ago. It says that education is the way up the ladder to success and the pathway out of poverty. With conditions being what they are now, we have people graduating from college and they can't find jobs and things of this nature. Can we really guarantee that this is a true statement? Or
I think it's a true statement. I don't think it's a true statement with regard to if you graduate from high school and have some proficiency in reading and math, social studies and the like, that you're going to be able to get a job with a very good pay, but at least you'll get a trip, step up the ladder to higher education, which then leads to further education, which could lead to a good job. But yeah, it's tough everywhere. But if you don't know how to read on the internet and manipulate, hyper technology, and that's what we have, hyper technology. If you're not proficient in that, you can't even begin to have hope of getting a job. So there's no excuse, and there's no cynicism or skepticism or negativity that really can block finally education having a positive effect in people's lives.
This is Keith Brownhill, and you're listening to the Jaws of Justice on KKFI Community Radio, 90.1 FM. Today, I am interviewing Dr. Robert Hill from the Community Christian Church and Dr. Rodney Williams from the Swo Parkway Community Church. Now, I'd like to start off begin with asking you an obvious question. What inspired both of you to become involved with the church and more specifically to set out to do this particular work?
Well, for me, this is a calling from God. Working with the church as a pastor. The lack of education or the miseducation of people, I think, is a social justice issue that we have to deal with. But one of the things that has inspired me was a situation that happened in my own personal life. There is a person by the name of Sandman Sims. Mm-hmm. He was world great tap dancer at the Apollo Theater. Mm-hmm. He was a mentor of mine. My family went through a major divorce. I was doing well in school. My mother and father went through a divorce. It put me into a tailspin. Stopped going to school, wasn't doing the things I was supposed to. But it was through the Each One Teach One program and the intervention of Sandman Sim that got me back on track. And that has inspired me, and I believe that whenever we have an opportunity, that we should intervene and get other young men and women back on track.
What happened to me, Keith, was I graduated from high school, and a month before I graduated, I got tapped by, you know, they got called me down to the office and at Sam Rayburn High School in Pasadena, Texas, and told me that I had gotten a scholarship that I didn't even apply for, and it was a full-ride scholarship. Tuition, books, room, board, health care, stipend, and it was guaranteed for 4 years anywhere I could get in. I always wanted to go to TCU. By the way, that's why I'm my TCU cap in. I came in from my walk today.
I see that.
And so TCU was a dream. It was a dream and only a dream. It was a mirage without this scholarship. And years later, in fact, just last year, I discovered that my calculus teacher, Marie Collins, had been part of a little cabal, if you will. They had been part of a group. There was Miss Collins, there was my English teacher, Miss Rose, and the head of detention, Miss Verducci. She knew me, and so they said I'd asked Miss Collins. Miss Collins, you know, did you have anything to do with getting this scholarship? She said, yes, I did, but I didn't do it alone. She told me those three, and then she said, I said, what motivated you? Did I get the pity vote or something? You know, what was that? And she said, no, I just asked myself, what can I do to help that boy? Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing. What can we do to help these children? This is one way, small way, that I can do in concert and in partnership and co-chairing with Rodney to pass on what has been a big grace in my life. Education was my story is not singular. It's not very different than many people. It was the ticket out for me. Education was the ticket up and out.
We're just about out of time. I'd like to ask each of you if you could give us your contact information in the event that someone would like to contact you and become involved with the Moore Square program or the church.
Sure. You can contact me through email at rewilliams252577@yahoo.com. If you contact me, I definitely will get back with you. We're looking for all interested parties.
Also, you could call Rodney on his phone. I'm going to give you the phone because I'm going to get my phone out there all alone, all right? We're going to split up these phone burdens here.
Thank you.
Rodney's phone is 816-363-1865 at Swope Parkway United Christian Church. 816-363-1865. And you can contact me, Bob Hill, at Community Christian Church, 561-6531. That's 816-561-6531. Or Rev Hill at community-christian.org.
Gentlemen, we all know that the children out here on these streets and elsewhere and all over the country are in a serious crisis for education and many other matters of concern. And the work that you are trying to do is certainly appreciated. And
there's a big but at the end of this question, isn't there?
No.
No, they're all right, good.
On behalf of the city here, the people here in this city, the people here at the radio station, we'd like to extend our gratitude for the work that you do.
Thank you for being on our show very much.
Thank you so much, Keith.
Thank you.
A man is walking down the street at night in a high crime area. Based on the environment and the neighborhood, the police guess that he has a gun. So may they stop and frisk him?
Hello. Listen up. This matters. I'm Lewis Black, and this is the Civil Liberties Minute with ACLU attorney Bill Newman.
The highest state court in Massachusetts has decided that under those circumstances, the answer to the question is no. In order to satisfy the Fourth Amendment guarantee against unreasonable searches and seizures, the police, before they may forcibly frisk someone, must have a reasonable suspicion that the person has committed or is about to commit a crime and that he is armed and therefore dangerous. John Reinstein, the legal director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, who co-authored the organization's high court brief, summarized, "What the court said is that people cannot be searched in the absence of a legitimate ground for stopping or detaining them." Wendy Sibison of Greenfield, Massachusetts, the attorney for one of the defendants, said, "I hope that this decision will make a difference in how the police behave in these communities, particularly with young black men. Just because you are walking down the street in your neighborhood, and it's a high-crime neighborhood, doesn't mean that the police get to put their hands on you. There has to be more."
The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the American Civil Liberties Union. Become a card-carrying member at ACLU.org, because freedom can't defend itself.
This is the calendar for December 3rd, 2012. My name is Lee Moore. The monthly meeting of the Criminal Justice Task Force will be tonight, Monday, December 3rd. They will be meeting from 6:45 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive in Kansas City, Missouri. You're invited to celebrate the progress of the past year and help plan the efforts for next year. For more information, call Robin at 816-468-7894. You're invited to the third annual Kansas City Veterans Administration Homeless Summit, Optimizing Service Delivery. The summit will be December 6, 2012, from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Macedonia Baptist Church, 1700 East Linwood Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri. Please RSVP to Erica Berryman at 816-861-4700, extension 5772, extension 57872, or Erica.berryman at va.gov. That's Erica.berryman@va.gov. The Kansas City chapter of the Missouri Association for Social Welfare will have their first Friday lunch this Friday, December 7th, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Westport Flea Market, 817 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. This month's subject will be a preview of the upcoming 2013 Missouri legislative session. You can find these items and more at facebook.com/JawsOfJusticeRadio, or don't forget to check us out online at the holiday auction. You can find a link to the auction at kkfi.org.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project, Inc., its staff or volunteers. If you have comments or questions, check out the Jaws of Justice Radio page on KKFI website, www.kkfi.org. You can join the Jaws of Justice Radio group. Email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. My name is Jessica Thomas. We thank our engineer, Mike Murphy. Listen in tomorrow at 9 a.m. for Law and Disorder with Daryl Charney on Who Bombed Judy Barr and Professor Bruce Levin on Lincoln. Then at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer covers the new FCC rules on low-powered FM and the new ownership rules the FCC is considering. Up next is Counterspin, followed at 10 o'clock by Beautician's Blues with Luscious Lynn, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hoag. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the Afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m.